and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, December 22nd, 2008. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's media partner is the Indie Shopping Network, the only e-portal combining live online television and live chat, connecting you with the best in indie and handmade products. Forget the big box stores and mass-produced whatchamacallits. Buy Indie at the Indie Shopping Network on indieshopping.tv. Well, this is my last Indie Business Radio show of 2008. It is hard to believe that I'm now in my fourth year of bringing you the experts and guests and authors you need to help you be successful in your indie business. And, of course, today is no exception. As we look back on 2008, of course, one of the things we'll want to make sure we did was use our time and talent wisely to help others while also generating the income we need to make a profit. If using your knowledge and expertise to do that was not on your list for 2008, our guest today is here to help us make sure it's on the list for 2009. His name is Anthony Quinones. He is an author, speaker, coach, and book expert. He holds an accounting degree and has experience in the publishing, insurance, and nonprofit sectors. His latest ebook is Repackaging is Everything, which he bills as a book containing the secrets to delivering money-making content. He joins us from his home office in New York. Anthony, welcome to Indie Business Radio.
Yes, great. Thank you for having me.
You can email me your questions, if you have any, for Anthony as we do the show at info. The email address to use is info@indiebusinessradio.com. I look forward to hearing from you. So, Anthony, tell us a little bit about who you are. Let's warm everybody up to Anthony.
Well, I, as you said, I have an accounting degree, and I have almost 20 years' experience in accounting. But I've also been very observant of the world ever since I got out of college, and I just saw how the world has changed in terms of employment. Back in the days when I was in college, it was basically go to school, get good grades, get a job, work 40 years, get that gold watch and that pension, and then you live another 10 years, and then you retire. Well, not retire, but then you die, maybe. But nowadays, with technology, and also I think the cold hearts of a lot of employers, people are getting fired at a much younger age. People are getting laid off at those magic years, you know, 19 years, 24 years, 29 and a half years. Usually it's just before you're about to hit a major milestone where they're going to give you some more money. And so what I realized is that after a while I decided that I needed to take my life into my own hands. So for the past few years, I've really been focused on getting in other streams of income besides the one that, you know, I had at a job, because I realized that employers are not going to take care of you. The days of a job or a big corporation taking care of you are over, and you see all these people nowadays having to work longer years because they don't have enough money to retire, or people getting fired at the age of 40, 45, where you're too young to get that great pay again. I mean, they're too old to get that great pay, but they're too young to retire.
Right, and so, just around the time you got to think about putting some people through college, too.
Yeah, yeah. So you got the house note, the car note, the wife, the kids, or your spouse, and you've got all these things that are never going to change. Now, obviously, you wouldn't want to get rid of your kids or your wife or anything like that, but there are a lot of things at this age that you're pretty locked in. And no matter what happens in the world around us, those things are not going to change. So we definitely have to set ourselves up to be in a position where we can take care of ourselves and our families for now and the future.
And so your book, the latest one anyway, because I know you have other ones, but your latest one is called Repackaging is Everything. And how is that book connected to what you just described?
Well, it's funny because I wrote that book basically about content, as the title says. But as time has passed, I realized that the message is a lot bigger than content. How it ties in is basically I believe that everybody has gifts. A lot of us don't use the gifts that we have been given by God. And also, as we live life, we obtain gifts. You know, we learn how to do other things. And so when I put the book together, it was originally about how we can use our gifts in different ways to create streams of income. And how it's expanded is just how you can use that expertise to create a lifestyle that's not just based on what your employer tells you, but it's based on the life that you want to live. It's the life that you're destined to want to live for yourself and provide for your family and the future.
Now, the title of your book is really interesting. It's like, of course, we all have heard that packaging is everything when it comes to just about anything that you want to sell, but you say that's not so. Tell us why that is.
Well, in life, and now I'm a little bit more experienced. I just turned 41 recently. And in life, there are times when your first impression is everything. You know, if you're going for a particular job, usually you only get one shot. If you have two or three shots, it's usually because you have two or three interviews. But basically, you have one shot. But a lot of times in life, you get more than one chance to do certain things. Like, for example, in my introduction, I share about my wife and just how my her first impression of me was not the best. Because, you know, she kind of liked me, or she had an interest, and then when she saw me, you know, when we met, you know, the first time really wasn't all that great. But as time went on, I mean, we worked in the same building, so we got to see each other on a regular basis, and sparks, you know, suddenly flew, you know, after a certain time. So there are times when the first impression is everything. But there are a lot of other areas in life. I mean, you look at people who, for example, were out on drugs, you know, stoned on drugs, and now they've changed their lives. So this first impression is everything, or you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. That's kind of true, but in a lot of cases, it's not totally true. So the book, Repackaging is Everything, it really talks about how we can do the same things different ways, mm-hmm. or just make changes in our lives that we can make, and not believe what people tell us that you can't change, or, you know, once you get that first impression, that's it.
Right, and you know, it's interesting because your initial, the initial things you shared really have everything to do with the fact that we all throughout our work lives or our career lives are going to have to continually repackage ourselves or reinvent ourselves and add to, you know, a platform or add to a core in order to be able to continually create the kind of lifestyle and income that we need in order to reach the, you know, the levels of contentment that we want for ourselves and our families.
That's right.
So, you know, I love that you talk about that. It's like, you know, there's always another chance, and I know in part of your book you talk about, you know, it's okay to make mistakes because if you continually repackage yourself, then over and over again, what you're going to be doing is creating new opportunities for yourself as you move forward, right?
Right, exactly.
So, tell us a little bit, I mean, you're a coach and you work with different clients and business owners. Tell us a little bit about how you have helped maybe someone, you don't have to share their name or anything, how you've helped somebody to incorporate this quote-unquote repackaging concept into their lives and into their business successfully.
All right, well, for example, there are a few examples. I've started coaching not too long ago, and I have a teleseminar that... I've had a couple of teleseminars recently, and usually I ask people to ask me, okay, what's the one question you want me to answer for you tonight in the teleseminar? And one person was asking about repackaging their gifts, and basically we had another teleseminar last week, and then last week she sent an email which explained some of the things that we had talked about and just how she's going to charge people a certain amount of money for her coaching, and she bundled up her gifts, great concept for the holiday season, and it's helping her to create a great business. Also, I've been coaching people on writing books. I'm sorry, I have a little bit of a cold. But I've been working with a friend of mine, actually. He's going to be writing a book on finance, how to get out of debt. And we talked about a month ago, just about how to put his book together. And so the concepts in the book, I'm helping people to create their own niche and create other streams of income. And I discuss about 30 different ways in the book, so there are a lot of different ways to do that. Not everybody has to do the same thing the same way. But cutting it and tailoring it to people's lifestyle, cutting and tailoring it to people's gifts, and just their way of life in general.
Yeah, I love the way your book gives so many different examples, that, and we're going to talk about a few of the ones that most people can use, some of the easiest that people can get started with. But, Anthony, you know, tell us a little bit about general recommendations you make for people who are selling products as opposed to services, because a lot of my listeners are in the health and beauty industry, so, you know, they may offer, you know, different types of services, for example, if they're a manicurist or an esthetician that gives people faces, facials and things like that, but they also have a line of products that they want to sell to be able to complement their expertise. So, you know, it seems like sometimes it's easier to repackage yourself, as you say, if you're selling services exclusively as opposed to products. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but give us your thoughts on that, and what are your recommendations for people who really do have, you know, a line of good products? Obviously, they have to cover their costs for the, you know, the packaging and the bottles and the jars and the ingredients that they need to formulate these products. Help us understand how a business in that position can use their expertise, their talents, their gifts to generate this additional stream of income that you're talking about over and above the actual products themselves.
Well, I think that people always need to be selling services. Now, you can sell products as well, but I think in today's economy, everybody needs to sell either products and services or just services, because the service part is where education comes in. No matter what product you have, you really want to educate people on it, because that's really the key to them buying is, okay, well, what does this do for me? You know, you take, for example, any kind of drug on TV. The question is, okay, how is it going to help me, and then what are the side effects? And then you educate people on, okay, if you have tons of side effects, it may outweigh the benefits. So when you have, say, beauty products, I would say that you want to help educate women or even men on the type of products that you're selling.
This is kind of where I'm going with this question, because certainly there are, you know, many millions of successful personalities that sell products, and they sell them successfully, and they don't offer, you know, hour-based services or consulting services, but as you're just describing, what they do offer as a supplement to the product is educational information, right, that puts them in a position of an expert who is helping people with this information, but also allowing them to experience it firsthand by having a product that complements that. Is that kind of what you mean?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because, like I said, there's more to today. People are much more discerning. So there are all kinds of products out there. People want to know what's the difference between this product and that product, and you won't always get that by looking at the product. It's about the information behind the product. And so when you position yourself as an expert and you're able to educate and teach people and direct people in the right way, that will put you ahead of the game because, as you know, I mean, especially in the beauty industry, there are all types of beauty products, beauty companies, and so the education is what separates one from the other.
And how much, Anthony, in addition to the education, how much does the personality behind the brand, the personality behind the products, the person who invented them, created them, and in the case of most of my listeners, actually manufactures them themselves, how important is it for the target audience, the customer, to know not just that person's expertise, but that person? Tell us a little bit about how that fits in.
Well, if you can get a celebrity, and I know, for example, there are a lot of beauty products that are supported by celebrities. If you get the right celebrity that represents the right thing, that will do a lot for your brand because we like to buy celebrities. So that big name automatically draws credibility and attention. So if you can get one of those behind you, that also helps. I think also explaining your story, it's because not everybody can afford a celebrity, obviously, because, you know, celebrities cost money.
Yeah, and I really want to focus on that type of business owner that as you say, has that story. And wouldn't you say that consumers today really want to get to know the person behind the brand? It doesn't have to be a celebrity?
Yeah, I think it's very important to tell your story because stories help people to relate to you. There are a couple of schools of thought that I think today that people need to look out for when people are telling their stories. And this is kind of related to what we're talking about, but I think a lot of people are either fall into the get-rich-quick scheme or the I'm stupid, what's your problem type of, I can't think of the word now. Because I think in terms of stories, sometimes people will make themselves look dumb, which makes people who are quote-unquote educated insecure. And then you have those who have supposedly gotten rich really fast. Then they forget about the time it took for them to build their business to a certain point. So it's important to tell the full story and to be honest, because I think a lot of people leave out certain parts of their story so that it can supposedly make themselves look better. But I think if you're dishonest, it makes people to helps people to relate to who you really are and helps your brand in the long run.
Right, and honesty, of course, and authenticity is always very important. We're going to come back and talk with Anthony Quinones, author of Repackaging is Everything, in just a few minutes after a short break. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. I'm here today with my guest, Anthony Quinones. He's the author of Repackaging is Everything. And before we took our first break, Anthony was sharing with us some of the, I guess, the actions, the habits that we want to avoid if we are going to be repackaging ourselves successfully in a way that appeals to our target audience. And Anthony, you said there's two types of, I guess, marketing avenues that we want to avoid when we're doing this. Can you tell us what those are in a little bit more detail?
Yeah, the first one is the get rich quick. And in most businesses, no matter what it is, usually before it shoots off, there's what they call critical mass. And this is where any business takes time to build to a certain point. It's similar to flying an airplane. An airplane can go from zero to whatever in almost no time, but it takes a while for it to get off the runway. So it takes time for that plane to go down the runway, build up speed, and then take off. A lot of times in the rich get rich quick, people forget about that point. They just go from where the plane takes off. And so they make people feel like, hey, I can become a millionaire in, you know, 30 days. And in most cases, that's not the case. Most cases, it takes months, maybe even years, to build your business to the point where it eventually shoots off. So when people talk about get rich quick schemes, you've got to be very leery of it because it takes a while usually to build critical mass. Now, yeah, occasionally you have lightning in a bottle, but it's very, very few cases. I mean, even, you know, most multi-level marketing businesses, it takes a while to build that network or that critical mass before that business goes from, say, zero to $100,000.
I can think of emails that I receive on occasion or actually more regularly than I'd like, sometimes from, for example, people that have a program to sell or some sort of information that they're offering, which can help me be successful in business, which is sort of touted as if you do these five things, then you'll be like me and you'll have a house on the beach and everything will be lovely. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, and the other thing with that, too, that I think people need to be wary of, and I get all these emails, too, so I'm able to speak about these because I get them all. Sometimes I really don't want them, but I realize, oh, this is a good educational tool. You also got to be aware of expert testimonials, because a lot of times people that endorse these type of things are in cahoots with the people who are sending out the email. So whenever you give a ton of money to this get-rich-quick scheme, a lot of these expert testimonial people will get a cut of what that person gets.
That is so hard. I mean, what you're talking about is really to really be discerning and lift the veil and look underneath. I'm going to give a little example here. I am an avid Twitterer. I love to use Twitter to communicate with people. And I'm starting to – there's an awards program now that someone started where you can nominate someone who is also a Twitterer for an award as, for example, the best marketing company, or you can nominate someone or endorse someone for an award in – the sports category, the branding category, the advertising category, you know, whatever they're an expert in. And I get emails through Twitter now saying, hi, I met you on Twitter. If you endorse me for this award in this category, I'll endorse you. And then they end the question is, and what would you like for me to endorse you in? It's kind of like a person knows absolutely nothing about me.
Yeah.
But if I go ahead and do that, then obviously the viewer would think that I was saying something fabulous about this person, right? And this person was saying something great about me, which was not heartfelt. It was really an exchange that no one else knows about. Is that kind of what you mean?
Yeah, and it's just, like you said, it's very important to be discerning, mm-hmm. because as you're aware of what's going on, you know, on the Internet, you begin to see certain patterns. So as people are more discerning, they're able to make better decisions. And obviously not everybody is crooked. I'm not saying that everybody on the Internet is crooked. You don't need
to talk
to anybody. But there are certain patterns, and the two that I mentioned just about the get rich quick and I'm stupid and what's your problem are kind of related, because they're both related to, I believe, insulting the consumer's intelligence.
Okay.
And because a lot of us are desperate to make more money, we fall for these things because
mm-hmm.
we're not discerning. We just say, hey, here's a success, and oh, so-and-so endorses it, this person endorses it, this person endorses it, so it must be true. But it's not always true, so definitely.
What do you do? How do you look beyond that? I read everywhere, you know, get testimonials to say how great your products are and how great your services are. And obviously that's good if it's heartfelt, but how do you separate yourself from the person who's just, you know, collecting a bunch of testimonials? And, I mean, in other words, it's not clear on the surface to the person buying what you're selling that that's the case. So do you have any tips as we repackage ourselves to make our testimonials stand out from that kind of crowd? That's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's good to get all types of testimonials because one of the things that with the crooked example that I mentioned is that they're usually all expert testimonials. So it's all people who are like that person or in a similar field. You know, you want to get everybody. You want to get a celebrity. You want to get an expert. You want to get a lady from down the block. You want to get somebody from, you know, Minnesota. You want to get people from all over. People tend to, you can tell in a lot of cases when a testimonial is for real or not just by reading them all. You know, you begin to see, oh, they're from all over, as opposed to a certain type of person, and then you go to their website and then they have a similar program, and then you go to this one and they have a similar program.
Oh, very good. Okay, so just by taking a look behind the testimonial at the website or the product that person testifying is offering, you can make sure that you choose people that help to distinguish what you're doing from what you're describing as sort of the what we don't want to be associated with.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, for example, when you have, like, I don't know if you've ever seen these emails for these big conferences where they have multiple speakers.
Right.
You know, sometimes you'll pay $2,000 for the event, and then you go, and then everybody is trying to sell you something. So you end up spending, if you're not careful, you could be spending $15,000, $20,000, where it's really supposed to be just an event where you're being educated, not sold.
Right. Okay, those are really good points. And so as we're quote-unquote repackaging ourselves, Anthony, you say that there are some very specific easy places for people to start, easy things that people can do to, again, if they've already got some sort of area of expertise or as we're talking about most of my listeners who have products to sell that also have some expertise that obviously give them the ability to create those products, you say that there are a few places to start in terms of creating the kind of content that will drive the traffic to where your products are. So tell us a little bit about that. I think your book starts with articles.
Yeah. Yeah, I start with articles. One of the things I mentioned in the book that you can start pretty much anywhere. So one of the questions that I ask people a lot is, what is your strength? And once you answer that question, it answers the same question, you know, where do I start? Most people don't really like to speak in public. So one of the things that I started off with is article marketing. And article marketing is a great place to establish your expertise. You know, you can write an article about a specific topic that you know about. It could have obviously an introduction and a closing. And in between, you can have a top 5, top 7, or top 10 list of things on a particular topic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can put it on one of the article sites. Say, the number one is ezinearticles.com.
And you does that cost anything?
No, it's free. You can post, you can set up an account and post your articles online. And it starts, like I said, it starts with an introduction in your body, then your closing, and then at the end it's something called a resource box.
Uh-huh.
And in this area you can direct people back to your website or your blog or your email address. And this is a way for people to get in contact with you, your brand, and what you're all about.
So you can, if you have a really good article that you posted at your blog, you can essentially cut and paste that, maybe make a tweak here and there for the particular article site that you're targeting, and just almost cut and paste it there and have a whole other way to duplicate your message without much effort.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can do it the other way around. You can write the article, and then you can split it up into blog posts.
Mm-hmm.
So if your article is a 7 steps, let's say 7 steps to a better face, all right, you can write an article, and then you can expand on those 7 points. So you could have a week of blog posts,
right,
expanding on the 7 points that you mentioned in the article. So
mm-hmm.
there are different ways to cut and paste and build what you're doing with the repackaging.
So you mentioned Ezine Articles as a good one, and ezinearticles.com for everyone who's listening to head on over and read their frequently asked questions and learn more about them. But Anthony, what are your top 3 things to look for in a site like that?
In an article site?
Right, because there's so many to choose from. I mean, obviously some charge a fee, some don't. So let's just start with the ones that don't charge a fee, because that's more attractive, at least at the beginning. I know maybe a fee being charged, there's a reason for that, and you get something more out of it. But let's just talk about the ones that are free. What do you look for besides that it's free in order to determine whether this is a good place for your type of article?
Well, one of the best, well, actually the best website on the web is Alexa.com, and this is where you can look up sites on particular topics. So if you want to find article sites, you can go there and you can look at all the traffic rankings of the top sites. Now, one of the things I write is that a lot of article sites go out after in a few months, so you want to make sure that the article sites are still there after a while. So the top ones are usually the ones that people should look to because they've been up there for a while. So Ezine Articles is one. GoArticles.com is another one. ArticleAlley.com, OneMinuteU.com. These are sites that have been up for a few years.
Okay, so you kind of want to look for one that's got some staying power. You don't want to go to all that trouble and then it's gone in a couple of months.
Right.
So, and since we mentioned blogging already, let's talk about that next. These kind of go hand in hand, do they not?
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time?
Blogging and an article submission can easily go hand in hand, as you said earlier.
Yes, because you can easily create one from the other. So if you're writing articles, you can cut them up into blog posts. If you have blog posts that are similar, you can put them together and create an article.
Now, is it important to have both? In other words, what if you have this kind of goes hand in hand with another question I have about online newsletters? Because I get this question a lot. I'd love to have your thoughts on it. If you have a blog that you write regularly for, and you also have a newsletter, Is it necessary to have both? What's your recommendation? I know every situation is different, but what are your thoughts on that question? Because I hear that question a lot from people who've had a newsletter for a while and are just now starting a blog, and they're thinking of letting the newsletter go so that they just have to post in one place.
Well, I think it's important to have both. Blogs, in my opinion, are a lot like hot sauce. You know, hot sauce is not something that you would eat by itself. You would have it with a piece of chicken or a piece of meat. So I think when to have a blog, it's really important to have something else to go with it. So, for example, I'm going to be putting on an event soon, and I'm going to restart my blog because I want to have a group of people who are really into the message that I have.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of blogs people don't really visit, so you have these blogs where you have one comment or maybe even no comments. And I think that's a waste of content. The other thing with all the different types of repackaging is that you want to be careful not to dilute your content.
Well, and let me get back to that blog question first, though, Anthony, because every blog starts out with no comments, right? I mean, we all, I can remember back in 2005 when I launched my first blog, it was like, nobody's commenting. Why do I keep doing this? So what are your tips on increasing the level of people that come and visit the blog and kind of allow you to create a community there?
Well, like I said, I think it's good to have other things to go with it. So if you have an event where you're having a lot of people come, it'd be a great way to introduce your blog there because you have an audience.
Event could be anything from a teleseminar, maybe to a trade show that you're doing, or even a home party that you use to sell your products, right?
Yeah, that's right. Because you want to be able to create you want to create a following, basically.
Right.
And a lot of times just posting a blog on that, and obviously anybody can do it. It's very, very easy, whereas back in the days it was harder. Now since it's so easy, there's so many blogs out there, a lot of times it's saturated, so people don't really even bother to look at blogs or your particular blog. So it's important to have something to go with it, in my opinion.
Oh, okay. So that makes sense. So let's just say you've got a blog, you've got a website. They may be housed at the same location more and more often they are, but either way, you've got these two, storage places for your content information. When you add a newsletter to that where you also are able to target information, then you basically have three things working for you at once instead of just two. And is what you're saying, as long as your content is good and you're appealing to your audience, you really can't go wrong by doing that.
Right.
And so I guess it depends, too, on what you put at your blog. And your book talks quite a bit about audio, teleseminars, audio downloads, videos, and we're going to come back after our break now and talk with Anthony Quinones, author of Repackaging is Everything, about his additional tips for using blog and content to drive more customers to the products and services that we're offering. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. This is Donna Maria, and of course my guest today is Anthony Quinones, author of Repackaging is Everything. And before we took our break, Anthony was sharing with us wonderful ways that we could take content, no matter what it is that we're selling, and duplicate it at our blog, at our newsletter, at different article submission sites. And before we took a break, Anthony said you want to be careful not to dilute your content. What do you mean by that, and how do we avoid it, Anthony?
Well, for example, there's some the search engines, they're very aware of duplicate content. So sometimes when you post articles and you post similar articles to that article, they're looking at it as duplicate content. Sometimes you get bounced from the search engine.
And what do you, how do they determine what gets bounced? I mean, do both of them get bounced, or they just pick the one that has the most hits, or how do they do that? Do you know?
Well, sometimes it's both, because search engines are very, very aware of people trying to figure them out.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is sometimes, and you see this in emails, there's search optimization, you have all these tricks to get your name or your business at the top of the search engine. Search engines are very aware of these type of things. So when people are putting out the same article with a different title, or two articles that are very, very similar, or they put excessive keywords in it, sometimes search engines look at that as a way to get over. And so sometimes you will have your article or your content bounce from the search engine. Also, in terms of duplicate content, when I talk about diluting content, you don't want to have your message everywhere, because if you want people to pay for your information, if it's all over the place, it will not have much value. I'll give you an example of an email that I got. I was a part of this program where authors would pay a certain amount of money for, you know, a CD and a newsletter. And obviously I got a newsletter one day, and then a few months later I saw the same article in an email that I received.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, you're paying for content, and then a few months later you're getting the same content for free. That dilutes your brand, and it puts questions in people's minds. It's, okay, what am I paying for? If I'm paying for this, and then it's free to everybody a few months later or a few emails later, then the brand is diluted, and then it makes people wonder, okay, why should I even pay for anything? Because if I'm getting this for free, well, what else am I going to get for free that I've already paid for down the line?
Right, and we don't want to do that. Well, for people who are selling products, it strikes me from what you're saying as there's an advantage there, because if your main income stream is the products you sell, then a lot of times you're going to want to give away and duplicate that information anyway, right? You don't have that issue where you've charged for it and then down the line other people can get it free. As long as it's, you know, used in a savvy way to drive traffic to the products that you're selling, that can be an advantage, right?
Yeah, because really articles and blogs, a lot of times they're there to drive traffic. You really don't make money from articles, you don't make money from blogs.
Right.
But what it does is that it points you to where the money is. So that education will point people to that product, and then they put the two together and they realize, oh, well, this is why I should buy this as opposed to that.
And these are really also, Anthony, would you agree, they're really community-building tools that also create more value to the brand. Can you address that as well?
Yeah, sure. As you mentioned, these are ways to build community. And so, for example, with blogs, if you can get people to comment on comments, that's a way of building a community, because it's not just you that has a certain opinion, but other people are involved in this community, and everybody's giving. And so this helps to build a following, and it helps to build a brand, because, yeah, it's great that you're doing this, but at the same time, with other people taking pride in it, it's their thing too. So giving that feeling of ownership to everybody involved in your brand really helps to heighten the brand awareness and heightens the value of the brand.
Right. Right. So you, of course, can be also involved in that commenting at your blog as well.
Yes. Yeah, it's a great way to stay involved with your readers and just have a pulse of what's going on with your brand, because sometimes we go into a brand thinking that it's going to be directed a certain way, but then our listeners or our viewers or our readers may take it in another direction that we didn't expect, and it may even be better than what we thought. So having a pulse on what's going on is very important.
And so you also talk in your book to some length about things that we can actually use in those blogs and in those newsletters, like for example, you know, the first one on your list is something that's fairly simple to incorporate, and that's audio.
Yes.
I am sometimes surprised at how few people use audio in their blog. Tell us what you think about that. It does amaze me because the technology is free or next to free, and it's such an interesting way, I think, anyway, to continue the conversation and make it more lively and personable if people connect your voice with what you're selling as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, what's kind of funny is I write about 30 different ways, and I have to incorporate more of these in my own business. But audio is important because people are not into the static content as they used to. In fact, in the middle of this year, video overtook static content in terms of the way people get their information. So it's an audio-video world. So when people hear the voice, it's much more personable than the written content. And it also establishes dialogue. I mean, even though, you know, an audio, you can't talk back to an audio, it still has a sense of someone talking to you, something live as opposed to something static. So it's very important to have that in your brand. Like one of the things that I've got to put back on my site, I had it before, was audio introduction. So when people click onto your site, an audio can direct people on what they should do. So it's a great way to direct people as well as to how you would like them to behave.
So what are some of your tips, Anthony, for someone who's just getting started in that area? I mean, let's make it easy and start with audio, because that's kind of a bridge to the video, I think, for a lot of people who are a little bit antsy about starting something new like that and thinking about, yeah, well, at least with audio I don't have to put my makeup on. So let's start with that. It doesn't have to be long. You know, give us some tips on how to incorporate that.
Well, let's say that you have a book. You can put an audio tip from each chapter. A lot of times people don't read the whole book. I mean, we have tons of books on our shelves that we haven't touched or touched sparingly.
Yeah.
And so if you take an audio tip, a tip from each chapter, and put it on your website, that's a great way to introduce your book to people. And it's a great way for them to learn information that they may not normally look at, because, like I said, if they buy the book, there's a good chance that they may not read the whole thing. So it can introduce information they may not read.
So you can just put an audio clip that reads a portion of one of the chapters or the introduction or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can send out a tip to your network. So say you have a beauty tip. You can send out a short audio to all the people in your network, and they can hear this tip on how to make your face look better, how to get rid of lines, how to look 5 years younger in 5 minutes. Quick things that can educate your network.
That's really good. And so I'm thinking, you know, when we think about adding video to the mix, of course, everyone selling products uses different ways to get the word out, but as we said earlier, if you're having a home party, if you're at a trade show, isn't it easy to have your video camera there? I mean, how you can so quickly interview someone that comes to your trade show booth about how wonderful your products are, and in, you know, 25, 30 minutes, that can be loaded to your blog and YouTube as a way, again, to make it fun, make it interesting and exciting for people to do business with you.
Yeah, and basically, video is audio plus pictures.
Right.
And it's a great way to demonstrate what you're talking about, because, again, the static articles are great and they have their place, but it's nothing like seeing what you're seeing done.
Right.
And so a demonstration brings everything to life. And also, you can do pretty much, you can do infomercials as videos. You can put on 30-second or a minute video. A great site to upload videos is OneMinuteYou.com, and this is where I got my start with videos, and basically this is where I became a book expert, because I went to an event, and they were introducing this site. They had just launched it, and so just on a hunch, I decided to go and do a minute video on an article that I was about to write, and did it, and put it up, and a lot of people have looked at it. It's one of the top videos on writing a book, steps to writing a book. it's like the number four right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great way to get your message out and demonstrate to people what you're about. And that adds to your brand, because not only do you have the written, not only do you have the spoken, but now you're able to demonstrate what you've written and spoken about.
And that's something, again, that you can put up at more than one place, right? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a bunch of different sites. I have a bunch of resources in my book where people can, you know, upload videos, upload articles. I mean, we got OneMinuteYou.com. Obviously, the number one is YouTube.
Yeah.
You got Google Video, Yahoo Video, MetaCafe.com.
Why aren't people completely confused? Why aren't consumers completely confused by all this? I mean, I can hear maybe someone who may not have done some of these things before saying, well, my goodness, if everybody's doing that, how am I not going to be background noise? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, not everybody's doing it. That's the thing. I think that a lot of times, for people who are educated and people who do these things, you kind of assume that everybody does it. Like,
I have this question, that why isn't everybody doing it? I guess that's a better way to address the issue, because it's, I mean, everybody knows about YouTube. Everybody with a business knows about YouTube. Everybody with a business knows that having a blog can be helpful in one way or another. So what, in your experience, coaching clients and talking with people, and what is your experience on why some of these business owners aren't doing this stuff?
Well, I think it's because everybody's scattered, and that's a challenge for me sometimes. You know, we want to do everything at one time, and then in the end we do nothing. Like, you know, have you ever been to a Christian conference where you hear, okay, you've got all these different things that change in your life or your character, and then you go home and you don't do anything?
Because you don't know where to start.
Exactly. You don't know where to start. So you get overwhelmed by the clutter or by all the things that need to be different.
Okay.
And so a lot of times people don't know where to start. That's why I always ask people the question, what is your strength? Because if your strength, for example, is speaking in public, then you should do public speaking. If your strength is writing but not speaking in public, well, then maybe you should write articles and then do audios, where obviously you don't have to be in front of a camera, you don't have to dress up, you don't have that nervous feeling. So depending on what you're best at is where you should start. And the important thing is to start. Don't get overwhelmed by all the different things that you're told, okay, you got to do this, you got to do social networking, you got to write, you got to blog, you got to do seminar, you got to do this and that. Just do what you do best, and then you build from there.
Okay. So it boils down, at the beginning anyway, to setting some goals and knowing what you're good at.
Yeah.
Well, that certainly is a good thought to end our show on today as we come to the conclusion of a year and look forward to 2009. So, Anthony, tell us, in terms of repackaging, what are the top three recommendations you have for any business owner to repackage themselves successfully in 2009?
Well, the main one, I believe, now in 2009, especially with the economy being where it is to speak in public. Everybody needs to have a place where they can speak. Because with all the internet garbage out there, people telling you how to get rich quick, people are looking for people that they can trust. So when you speak, you obviously will be able to touch people literally, and you build that credibility factor in your message. I also think that everybody needs to write articles. It's the quickest way to establish credibility. So you want to have the spoken word, you want to have the written word. And then I also believe that everybody needs to have videos. I'm going to be putting a bunch of videos up very soon with tips on how to repackage yourselves. And these are great ways to not only hear, but you also get to demonstrate how easy this is. I mean, everybody is an expert. Everybody has gifts. And as long as you can identify them and use them, no matter what business you're in, you can create streams of income.
That's great. That's great. Speak in public, write articles, and use video. Amen to that. Now, Anthony, as we close out, tell us, where is the best place to go on the internet to learn more about you, and where will you be speaking next year?
Okay, well, my website is www.repackagingiseverything.com. But I also have a special page for your listeners. It's www.repackagingiseverything.com/Donna Maria. And this is where you can get my products at a discount. The ebook is regularly $27. You can get it for $17. The book is $29. You can get it for $20. And the CD set is regularly $97. You can get it for $69. And I also have another website, anthonyquinones.com. You go to the calendar page, it'll give you events that I'll be speaking at, programs that I'll be launching. And so this will be a great way for you to learn more about me, and hopefully we will cross paths in the future.
Well, I just love that domain name, repackagingiseverything.com/Donna Maria. That sounds great. I am going to share that with the people that are in my Twitter circle and also in my newsletter. And we want to make sure that everyone knows what I have seen there is a great ebook that is very useful, very easy to read, user-friendly, and that's Anthony's style. So thank you so much, Anthony, for all your tips, for taking your time today. Happy holidays to you, and we wish you a great 2009. For all my listeners out there, I want you to know this is the last show of the year, but I am planning some great things for 2009. So join us here the first Monday of 2009 for another great show right here on Indie Business Radio. In the meantime, happy holidays, happy new year, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.